When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Healy's
quite a huge amount improved their attacking intent. Whether it's the players, whether it's the coach, and I don't think
we're going to have to start the podcast before the end of this match, so we can take your eyes off the game for just a second, boys. Hands in, pod on three, one, two, three.
Pod.
Another brilliant weekend. We had it all, didn't we? There was Pro 12, there was Aviva Premiership, there was the internationals, of course, top 14, and we'll be talking about all of it. Egg Chasers Rugby Podcast, we don't take the game or ourselves too seriously. I'm Tim, JB's there.
Good day, Tim.
And Phil is right there. And like I say, you're catching us. There's 3 minutes left in the last game of the weekend, Newcastle against Sale. Sale with a 5-point lead in this one currently. And I'm always impressed with Newcastle. Dean Richards said it before the start of the season. We're going to play a different brand of rugby. And they really have.
Yeah,
they've really gone for it.
They've got some good attacking backs. Sinotti, the young 15 that they've brought in, Powell in the centre, and the Argentinian.
Chino.
Sochino.
Yeah.
Who scored the first try.
Got him from Rotherham.
Yes, yeah, who kick sticks and he's made a couple of really good breaks in this game.
Yeah. So it looks like Sale are going to get this one. But so much to talk about. But I know exactly where we are going to start. It's right over the course of the podcast. Actually, do you know what? Before we get into the actual rugby, I just want to just have a few little shouts for people who've got in touch. For example, and this is what we're about. So if you enjoy the podcast, then recommend us to your friend or leave a review on iTunes, and that'll help us bump up the chart. And just one example of that, and there's been lots. Tom Robertson, top work, Tom. Good to have you on board. And thank you for recommending the podcast to your mate, Joe Bratcher. I hope I say your name right there, Joe, who tweeted us to say he's really enjoyed the podcast. Good recommendation from Tom. Thank you very much, Tom.
Thank you, Tom.
Appreciate it. At Rugby Podcast is where you can find us on Twitter. You can find us on iTunes. Subscribe there and we'll get every episode delivered straight to you. And you can leave a review there as well. That'd be great. But there's only one place that JB will possibly let me start. Over the course of this podcast, you have heard man crushes on Jack Berger. And then there was Gavin Henson. And
what do you mean was Gavin Henson?
They haven't gone away, but there's a brand new one. And now we can talk about slamming Sam. How Jay would love to be slammed by Sam.
that's weird. That is a weird introduction to this section. So Sam, there are a few things, aren't there, in human history, which people just didn't quite know how it would turn out. So the first atomic bomb could have... No one knew how it would stop. The turning on of the Large Hadron Collider, they thought it might open up a black hole and then we'd all die. And Sam Burgess, first run in rugby union. I'm amazed we've still even got a game left. But no, the next day the sun rose and Sam Burgess is now officially a rugby union player.
He is.
And what a rugby union player.
What a man.
Have you ever seen such in-depth coverage of a centre rucking
or laying the ball back?
Oh, look at the rucking. After only 1 month he can now ruck.
He can push other people out of the way.
It's quite incredible.
But it was a little bit of an anticlimax. I don't know if you both felt like that.
I did slightly, yeah.
But I don't know what else I was going to expect.
Well, the stage of the game in which he came on, there was a couple of Harlequins in the bin at the time, and the Bath forwards had just been destroying them up front all game, and that just continued. So the ball didn't really get out to the backs, apart from two crash balls.
Do you think it was a little bit silly when he came on? And I think the first move that Bath called, I'm not sure what the move was called, but I'm pretty sure it's something like Sam Ball or Sam Smash. Like, it couldn't be any more obvious. They've only got 13 players, or was it 12 players at the time?
Slam.
It's either 12 or 13, yeah. Either...
yeah. Slam ball.
Slam ball.
Right, okay, we'll do
slam
that.
Slam right. So what did you make? Describe that moment when he took his first carry into contact, Jay.
Ecstasy.
Do you think there's any part of Mike Ford that was a bit of kidology? He was throwing people off the scent? Because he said earlier in the week that, oh yeah, all we want is him in a position where he's going to tackle lots and carry lots, and that'll probably be the back row.
Yeah, I think there's been mind games right along from
Mike Ford. I think there's
Mike
been mind games for everyone. I don't think anyone actually knows what they're going to do with this kid. I mean, they've got him, they're paying him a lot of money. And after Friday, I'm still none the wiser as, is he going to be a good rugby union player? Is he not? Where does he play? What do his skills allow him to do?
What I think is really nice,
no idea.
Hearing Mike Ford talk, is he said, I don't want to get him too bogged down in all the nuances of rugby union. I just want to let his skill set kind of work. And it's easy to forget, and it was pointed out in the commentary of the game, Kyle Eastman has made a pretty incredible transition from league to
that
union.
That took a long time, though. I mean, you forget, like, I don't think Kyle Eastman had many appearances, you know, in his first maybe 18 months.
Yeah, he started off quite slow. He's been, what, 3-4 seasons now?
Yeah.
So it's not...
And he was on the wing for a little bit, wasn't he? And then
yeah.
It's taken them a while to find where they can play Kyle Eastman. He's a bit of a different player as well.
Yeah, he's very...
Well, yeah, he's a completely different player, and yet they're
playing in
the same position.
Yeah. I think it says a lot about the difficulty that Bath are going to have in just how much they had to change that back line to fit him in. So when he came in, he came on for Agujo, who was 15, which meant that Devota went from 10 to 15, yeah, which meant that Eastman went from 12 to 10, just to get Sam Burgess in probably the only position he would have or could have played in that game. So it's how much of this is actually going to be a negative on what is the best back line in the Premiership based on form.
Yeah, and the other thing as well is, I mean, I've said it before, money plays. So they're paying him a lot of money.
Yeah,
I read earlier on the week, he is the highest paid player in the Premiership. And if that is true, that is crazy.
He took a pay cut from what he was on at the Rabbitohs to come to rugby union.
I just think they've got to be careful how they introduce, and they've got to be very clear to the players exactly what the plan is.
I don't think the coach needs to explain himself to the other players. He makes his selection and you deal with it. Like as a if you don't get picked for Broughton Park.
Oh, I kick off big time.
Well, I bet you're a flipping nightmare.
Yeah, you're a bit different to most players.
Okay. Well, one thing I will say is the prospect of, and this requires this. Oh. The prospect, even the potential prospect of the sheer power of a Burgess-Tuilagi combination in the centre. Who cares about wings? We're always talking about England not being able to get the ball to the wings. Forget the wings. Just let those two beasts truck it up all day long.
Get rid of the wings. Play with 13 players.
13 players or
don't need
two
them.
Extra flankers. Be great.
Well, two extra flankers just so they're there to ruck over. Get real quick ball when the two of them truck it up. Stick them all back rows on the wing.
Mm.
Oh, let's talk England. I was at Twickenham. And firstly, I just want to say thank you very much to our friends at Canterbury who wanted to make sure that the Egg Chasers Rugby Podcast had someone with a great view, fantastic view of the game on Saturday.
What a kit maker. I mean, maybe the greatest kit maker of all time.
Quite possibly.
Yeah, the two England kits at the moment are delightful
aren't they? They are delightful. So, pretty happy with Canterbury at the moment.
Just while we're on kit makers, going away from England, I just wanted to say something about Adidas.
What? A rival sports brand?
You love... No, they make fantastic kits.
I've been talking the Adidas French kit up a lot in recent months.
Let me put that music back up. Oh that French kit.
So good. So I went into the Adidas store on Market Street in Manchester this weekend to buy one.
Obviously. I mean, if you want an Adidas kit, the first place I'd go is the Adidas store, right?
So after a few minutes of walking around, I asked one of the sales staff, and do you sell the Adidas rugby... the French rugby shirt? To which his first response was, is it made by Adidas? To which I said, yes. And he said, oh no, we don't sell rugby shirts.
And, why did he need to ask the first question?
I know.
The first question seemed a little bit redundant.
But then he said, which is weird, because we're always getting people coming in looking for the all-black shirt.
So, not only did you not need to ask the first question, he's already been asked your question numerous times.
Yeah, lots of times before. So Adidas, please stock the the France rugby top well, just, on Market Street.
That's just terrible business. Going, oh yeah, we get asked all the time.
I mean, we do spend.
We just, all the time. People are saying, can I spend money in your store? And we tell them no.
No, yeah, sorry, not this store.
As a company, we spend millions on the All Blacks kit, but we don't sell it. No, not at all.
One of the most recognisable brands in world sport. And the company that produces it doesn't sell it in their one of their flagship stores. So Adidas, sort it out.
Yeah, but mind you, the Adidas stores, they think it's necessary to sell like eight different types of the same kit. So if you go in there, it's like you've got three or four racks of, I'm just trying to think of an Adidas.
Chelsea.
It'll be like three racks of Chelsea. You don't need three racks of Chelsea.
Yeah.
In Manchester.
Anyway.
Your quest to have that wonderful French kit is done. I'm going to stop using the word wonderful, actually, because after last week's podcast, we got some feedback saying, boys, come on, wonderful Stollen, really? we were a little bit too over the top about Phil Stollen that he made.
It was delicious Stollen, though.
It was gorgeous Stollen. Some other tweets and stuff. Oh, on the Burgess one, Ross Adnett got in touch on Twitter and said, we need another nickname. Rugby League had him called as Slamming Sam. What about WMB?
Hang on.
Weapon of Mass Burgess.
Isn't this my joke?
Is that based on yours?
You
said,
must be.
You said something about Ath unleashing...
Getting Kofi Annan to inspect Sam Burgess to make sure he's not a weapon of mass destruction or whatever it was.
WMB, Weapon of Mass Burgess. I don't know.
No, that's not going to work. It's going to go with Asperger's syndrome.
What would that be?
I have no idea.
Is that a little?
That doesn't work. It'd be a guy who could.
If anyone would have Asperger's syndrome, it would be you. Maybe it's the little disease of the dreams you have in bed at night.
Perhaps.
Right, back on England. So I spent the day at Twickenham, and I haven't been to Twickenham for years. I think the last time I was there, it was the cup final. My brother was playing for Plymouth against Bedford, and it was like the cup below.
Yeah.
And then they had the main event.
They had like the Power Gen trophy.
Exactly, yeah.
Shield.
Exactly. So it was the Power Gen Cup. So it was a long time ago since I've been to Twickenham, and it's an impressive place.
It is, isn't it?
It's a really impressive place. As much as anything, I just love the whole vibe. The whole car park is full of people for hours before and hours afterwards. It's kind of like a
tailgating.
It's like a tailgate, yeah. Exactly. You can smell the money just when you get off the train.
No, isn't it delicious?
Everyone, those mustard-coloured chinos that JB loves so much, I saw so many pairs of them. And tweed. Well, chinos and tweed combo, tweed jackets. And just some of the flat caps, some of the most incredible get-ups, those padded jackets, the quilted type of.
I wonder how many of these people actually own land and how many people just want to look like they own land.
Yeah.
And also, if they're allowed to, how many of them would carry shotguns?
And I would say, if you're, I think it's part of the process, when they give out tickets for England games, they say, male, yes, okay, tweed, wearing tweed, okay, yeah, you can have a ticket. Female, yeah, okay. Are you really hot? Yeah, okay, you can come.
You're in.
They're all flipping gorgeous. Might have been the Bollinger talking, but it's an amazing place to be. So,
how did you find the game? Because I went there to watch England Wales this year. And I was amazed by the atmosphere. I mean, I've given Twickenham a hard time in the past for being quiet, but it was rocking for the Wales game.
You sensed the frustration, actually. It was great. It was great. It was really great to be there in Jerusalem before the teams come out and stuff. It's really rousing, and the amount of pomp and ceremony on the pitch is really great atmosphere. But it didn't ignite. The crowd were never ignited by what was going on during the match because it was another frustrating game for England. The forwards took apart the Aussies, but the backs didn't do anything.
Well, metres made with ball in hand. Australia made four times the number of metres that England did.
Fact.
Wow.
And defenders beaten was nearly four times as many, 25-7.
Fact.
That's a lot.
Yeah, they also had by far the lion's share of possession and territory.
Good defences win games. I do love Ben Morgan.
I think you were saying just before the pod, Tim, some very good things. He took his two tries really well.
He's got the kind of body type that makes me think things are possible.
But a few not so good things.
Yeah, he got handed off by Adam Ashley Cooper.
Was he in the wide? Really, that was when he's in that wide channel.
No, it was really weak. He shouldn't have missed the tackle, and that could have been If Brad Barrett hadn't covered his ass and got back there and shut stuff down.
Yeah, he put in a great shift, Brad Barrett.
I know, we've been critical, but you did get a perspective, like watching it live, as a different perspective. You just sort of see the whole pitch and you just go, he's a really smart player. He makes great decisions and shuts stuff down. But Power beat Australia, and that's fine. But will Power ever beat New Zealand and South Africa? You'd have to surely.
No.
I don't know, actually. Because what does beat New Zealand? Well, the only thing which is likely to come close is South Africa. And England and South Africa aren't... I kind of think of them as, like, number 2 and 2A and 2B. I mean, they're kind of right up there, but they're seriously powerful packs.
Yeah, but you're relying on... I think England are relying on those teams having an off day to be able to win.
Maybe.
I think what everyone wants to see, and we haven't seen, unfortunately, is England to grab the ball by the horns and play.
Well, no, because if you play, you'll never outplay New Zealand. You can't beat them at their own game. So I think probably your best strategy is to be as big as possible.
That first half against New Zealand, they did. Yeah. That's what we're talking about.
They did exactly that. Their forwards gave them the platform and their backs used it.
Second test in New Zealand, they played wonderful rugby and they lost. So... Yeah, they have tried. They've tried four times playing. If I was England, I would pick the biggest pack possible and be the dullest, most negative team and just try and grind it out.
Which
England got to a World Cup final
2007.
Yeah. Against a very good Australian team. Mm. So there is some logic there.
I didn't see any of the commentary. What was that like? Were there any gems?
Oh, once again, Stuart Barnes. What a wordsmith. Courtney Laws made a fantastic cover tackle. From a second row, I mean, the guy's athletic for a winger, but he's incredibly athletic for a second rower. So he makes a tackle, and Stuart Bong is, that's the best tackle you'll ever see. He has a point. But then he goes on, the best tackle you'll ever see from a Northampton second row. Cheers, Stuart. Thanks, mate.
That's the best tackle ever from a second row. Based in the East Midlands, wearing green, gold and black. Crikey.
In the 49th minute of a game. You won't see a better one than that.
He also, in the second half, shortly after Australia had scored their first try, so England is one try all at that stage, someone went down, someone was having treatment, and Stuart Barnes gives a bit of analysis. And he says, look at these two clips. If England continue to score tries like this, they'll win the game. But if Australia continue to score tries like this... they will win the game.
That's almost a certainty, isn't it?
It is indisputably true, though.
You can't argue with it.
It's just good science. It's
you can imagine him, the Courtney Laws one, sort of reminds, it's like the rugby version of Jamie Redknapp using the word literally wrong. Michael Owen was literally a greyhound.
He literally left him for dead.
I've got another complaint, actually.
Oh, yes, please.
I was... out of the house on Saturday afternoon, planning to watch the game on Sky Go on my phone.
Uh-oh.
And the whole of the first half, they were showing a documentary about the 1980s France team.
Sounds awesome.
Rather than the England-Australia game.
Ah, not so awesome.
So, I missed the whole of the first half. Absolutely.
Was it a good documentary? Did you learn anything?
Serge Blanco likes cheese.
Yeah,
the guy can put it away.
Serge Blanco is massive now. And that France had a very, very good team in the 1980s.
They were very exciting to watch back then, yeah.
Yeah, when Serge Blanco was a little bit slimmer than he is now.
Pierre Berbizier and Philippe Sellard. Some great players.
Oh, Christ, Berbizier. Did he coach France and Italy?
I don't know.
I think he had a really successful spell.
Yeah,
as
I think
you're
right. I think he might
or
be right.
More successful than last
So you didn't get to watch the game because Sky Go don't cover... You can't watch matches on Sky Go? What?
Well, no, they sorted it out for the second half. It was a glitch. It's just an error.
Oh, dear.
A hardware or software error. Twice now it's happened.
That is an error.
It's a huge error. I was so angry. I had to watch the first half of Wales-South Africa instead.
Wow, the meat grinder.
God, it was just...
brutal.
Yeah. Not exciting.
I disagree. I love that. I love Wales' style of rugby.
As a back, it wasn't exciting.
You just mentioned Wales, and we should congratulate Wales. Warren Gatland has won a game against someone from the Southern Hemisphere.
Amazing. Amazing.
He's won ugly, but he's won.
Well, I think more accurate is to say Lee Halfpenny Penny beats... what's his name?
Pat Lambie. Which he did, because Lee Halfpenny only missed one penalty. Pat Lambie missed four penalties.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So,
Yeah, he did beat his team.
very big jawline. It's like Brad Barrett and Pat Lambie. No. Like a jaw off.
bit of sad news. Do you think we've seen the last of
John de Villiers?
John de Villiers.
Oh, this is, God. That was awful. Actually, I'm not even going to play that music because it feels sarcastic.
Is this trivial?
But actually, it was genuinely awful. It's dislocated knee. That's shocking.
He's a national hero there.
There's a freeze frame that
I don't want to see that.
That I saw where basically you can't see the bottom half of his leg. The bottom half of his leg is folded like round to the side, so his foot is where his hip is. Oh God!
Oh,
it's horrible, horrible injury. I really hope he gets right treatment and gets back.
Well, at his age as well, it's one of those things. It might just be he calls it a day now because getting fit for the World Cup is going to be a big ask.
Yeah,
get fit, get your form.
I think the World Cup will be too soon. And then, looking at that,
if he's not there for the World Cup, is he going to spend another year playing?
He deserves better than that with the career he's had.
Definitely,
it's a real shame.
He's been still on superb form in the autumn internationals.
Mm.
So, real shame.
Mm.
I think it just shows how brutal it is when Wales play South Africa. I don't think there's two more physical teams. I know I've just been saying that I think England are like South Africa light, but I kind of think Wales take it to another level, particularly the first 60 minutes.
And they eked out a few penalties in the scrum as well.
Yeah, some of the scrummaging was magnificent.
England are a kind of set-piece power, but what you're talking about, sort of in the loose, those tackles that just...
Well, you say set-piece power, I mean, I'd say England did have the advantage on Wales last Six Nations, but, I mean... Traditionally, last 5 years, Wales' scrum has been mega. Hibbard, Gethin, what's his name? Adam Jones. And before that, you had the hooker. Why can I not remember any names? Blues hooker.
Reese.
Matthew Reese.
What did you make
Paul
of
them?
Well, there's one tweet we had said, what do you reckon? Michael Schreck should be called Michael Schrecker. Michael Checker should be called Michael Schrecker because he looks like Schreck.
very good.
I did like that.
And also, what do you make of Michael Checker's glasses?
Not seen them.
Not a fan.
He's like a proper hipster.
Yeah.
He needs a beard and he needs to be into bands that no one's heard of and take Instagram pictures of his breakfast.
And dressed like Luke Charnley.
Yeah. He had some proper hipster black rimmed glasses on.
Nice. I think Luke Charnley is the most athletic hipster in the world.
This is a rugby league player who plays for Wigan, by the way.
Everyone knows that, surely. Well, if you've listened to the rugby podcast, you know who Luke Charnley is.
Hmm. Luke or Josh.
Josh. It's Josh, isn't it?
Josh, it is
Josh.
Oh,
my God, I'm having a horrible...
Oh, dearie me.
This is terrible pod.
Sorry, Phil, what are you going to say?
I was just going to say, going back to the power of the Wales game and the almost the boring strategy, they had a couple of back-to-back 15-man lineouts when they got into South Africa's 22. They put the whole of the back line into the lineout, and the first one, I think the ruck got held up, and then they had another one, and they knocked on from a 15-man line-out.
They did it against New Zealand. This is like, they only bring it out for the internationals. Don't know why.
Couldn't get over the line.
Crikey.
So I think we should take stock of the autumn internationals that we've seen and quickly rattle through a autumn international 15 from the home union sides.
Okay.
So who's impressed you and who... Well, kind of like a picking a Lions team almost, but only based on the players that have been involved in the autumn internationals. So obviously guys like Sean O'Brien, Keane Healy, if there was a Lions team, you'd think they would be in it.
Yep.
But you get my point. So
we do.
Based on what we've seen with the autumn international, who would you have in a 15 starting at 15?
Halfpenny.
Would you?
I think
Carney.
I'd go Carney.
I tell you who
based
I wouldn't
on what
go.
I've seen, he's been brilliant.
I wouldn't go Mike Brown. I think Mike Brown has had a really bad autumn. Everyone says he's a great player, and he has been a great player for a long time.
No, he's defensively solid. He's great under the high ball. All the solid.
Oh, I don't know.
Nuts and bolts, but it's he's a victim of the fact that England have got no fluency when you get into the wider channels.
Where was the game I watched him recently, and he dropped everything?
That was a Quins game.
For England,
he's actually been really good.
I think he's struggling a bit with form, is Mike Brown. So I'd go with Halfpenny.
I'd go with Carney. I think Carney's
based
been,
on what I've seen, he's been
it
brilliant.
Depends if you've got a kicker.
Scything runs, solid at the back.
Yeah.
Defensively strong. He's looking great. On the wings.
George North.
George North would have to be there.
Johnny May.
Johnny May has got form, but would you have him over Cuthbert? No, thank you.
I reckon I probably would.
Tommy Bill.
This is based on what we've seen, not on what you think of the players overall.
This is exactly what I've seen with my own two eyes.
Tommy Bill has been on
Tommy
good form as well.
Yeah.
But Johnny May, has scored comfortably the best try in all of the autumn internationals.
That was a hell of a try.
And he just, there's that excitement whenever he gets the ball, you don't quite know where he's going to go.
Yep.
You don't quite know what he's going to do.
And again,
it's really exciting to watch.
Plug him into Wales, plug him into Ireland, and you'd think you'd see.
Johnny May could not play for Wales. I'm not saying that to be an idiot. He just wouldn't get. He's just not the right sort of player.
But
I mean, they're both good finishers. But because Cuthbert's that bigger frame, Gatland ball.
Go on, Phil. You played wing when you played.
I'd give it to Johnny May.
Johnny May and
not
George
North. Tommy Bow.
Based on what we've seen,
Tommy Bow.
I do like Tommy Bow.
Ulster's Tommy Bow. Unbelievable decision.
In the centres, 12 Trees and Barrett. Let's move on. no, in the centres, who should we go with?
Well, I'm not sure about 13 because I think there's not been any outstanding 13 performances. I've not seen the Irish team, so maybe you could.
Yeah, Henshaw. Who can play 12 or 13 or 15? I'd probably say Henshaw, who's only 21.
Head and shoulders for me at 12 has to be Jamie Roberts.
Yeah, agree with that.
Without any shadow of doubt.
Which is a weird one because I laughed in a despairing way when I heard he was facing up against Sonny Bill. Thought it was going to be a horrific mismatch, but actually he got one of the match. So.
Yeah, his performance against New Zealand was one of the best I've seen against New Zealand. It was absolutely sensational. Just disrupted everything.
Scotland, who were they playing at 13?
Bennett had a couple of games, but then got injured. He's out for like 8-10 weeks.
Okay.
He's a very good outside centre as well.
They've started playing some nice rugby, but not nice enough to get in the Lions yet.
Yeah.
So Jamie Roberts, and who do we go with?
Henshaw. Robbie Henshaw.
Yeah, he was good. At 10. Tough one, this.
Well, it is tough.
It's not at all.
Yeah.
Johnny Sexton didn't exist.
If he didn't exist.
Yeah. If there's no Johnny Sexton, you'd be fighting out, because Bigger played very well in his last couple of games. Number 9. I'd like to give a nod to Laidlaw.
I think Webb's been really good.
Reece Webb would be the man.
He's the man. Definitely. Exactly, the two got written down. Laidlaw deserves, because he's led Scotland well, he's kicked well, he's played very well.
Yeah, and Murray has played very well. Some of his kicking has been really, really good, and that suits the island. Yeah.
And what? Can we just talk for a second? Nick Evans accused Stuart Lancaster of making Danny Kerr a scapegoat.
I'm not allowed to talk about the second best.
No. I'm just saying, because if you'd have picked a Lions 9 before Autumn Internationals, we'd probably have gone with Danny Kerr.
Yeah.
But he's not dropped like a. What's going on? I don't know.
I just don't know.
Stuart Lancaster is losing the plot, as I've said.
The only thing I could think would be that he doesn't think his form's that good, so he sent him back to the club to build some form.
All right, but keep Owen Farrell in, yeah?
Yeah, but why would he not do the same with Owen Farrell?
Because he loves Owen Farrell.
And why would...
Because his dad picks the team.
Why would he have Rocco Degouni, the form winger for the Premiership, for one game, picks up an injury, but then he plays the third and fourth games for his club? Why is he dropped like a stone?
No idea.
Odd. But I think we're going to have to go with your Welsh brethren there, Jay, at number 9.
Yeah, Reece Webb.
In the forwards, then. Let's rattle through these.
Falasau. Very good game on the weekend.
Yeah. Would you have him ahead of Morgan? Would you have him ahead of Heaslip?
Heaslip. I like Morgan, right? But I don't even see him being as good as Ewers. I mean, if you said to me, which one do you want? I'd probably go Ewers. He's more athletic, stronger ball carrier, faster, etc., fitter.
I thought Morgan...
Very good performance. 2 tries. Can't argue with that so much.
But just based on his performances, when he came on in the other games, he always kind of got that go forward that England were lacking. Morgan.
Why?
Wow.
Why? It's got to be Heaslip.
Okay, Heaslip.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Fine. Heaslip has been really good. At 7, then, again, we can overlook
Warburton.
England one more time.
Yep.
Yeah. Warburton, superb against South Africa.
He was excellent.
And
he really was.
Peter Omani at 6.
Oh, yeah, exactly. Read my mind.
The limpets. Now, England can have some say in the second row, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah.
I quite like Atwood, as has been previously documented.
I would pick Alan Wynne. I thought he's been excellent.
Alan Wynne is always exceptional.
He's so good.
Always.
Paul O'Connell has been exceptional.
Oh, he has, hasn't he?
Yeah. I was going to say the two old... Well, I say old stages. Alan Wynne-Jones is apparently 28.
Has he got the same age as the evergreen Stanley Jean?
I'd go Alan Wynne and Paul O'Connell.
And that is harsh on Courtney Laws.
Really harsh.
But I think so.
The best ever Northampton second row.
at tackling in the 40 line.
At tackling. Yeah, fine. Samson Lee for prop.
For tight end. I think David Wilson has played very well.
You would probably say so.
Samson Lee.
Yeah.
Hooker.
Hibbs.
I'd go Hartley.
I'd go... You reckon?
Not over Hibbs.
Hartley's line-out has been superb. And besides his small indiscretion when he got yellow carded...
His hair's not as nice.
His hair's... I think he's a bit nicer than Hibbard.
And his tattoo's not as intricate.
I would definitely go Hartley.
Well, you're wrong, unfortunately. It's Hibbard.
I'd also like to say that Ross Ford, when did he learn to throw and hook? Because previously he's not been able to do either of those things.
I think previously he's just doing gym sessions.
Yeah.
Loads of gym sessions.
Just looking like an absolute beast.
But not playing like it.
A pair of shoulders that man has got, and a tiny waist.
Hell of a specimen.
He's a great specimen.
And who's the other prop then?
Marler.
Fine, done.
I would go with Marler as well.
Yeah.
He does a lot of defensive work and a lot of carries.
So we've got no Scottish players playing?
No.
But a few honourable mentions, which is more than they would have got 18 months ago.
Exactly. Well done, Scotland. Success.
Yeah, they're on the right lines, but it's a tough old thing when there's four... When there's about 80 players to choose from.
We would have this. Yeah. We would have the Scottish pyrotechnic staff, because they are exceptional at that.
All right, I think we should have a little a brief break and a quiz. Phil prepares a quiz. Me and JB take each other on. And
well, it's not exactly competitive, is it?
In rugby parlance, basically, I am like the Exeter pack and you are like the Saracens pack. You're just getting dominated.
Yes.
Yeah. Johnson getting yellow card.
I know. We will get onto that very soon. Premiership and
now,
all the rest of it.
I have bought baked goods to go with the quiz. So last week we had Stolen. And this week I went to John Wilkins' coffee shop because he has one in
He's a rugby league player for St Helens, in case you didn't know.
Yep. And I've got three chocolate tiffin cakes, so I'll just hand these out.
Oh, wow.
Here's one for you, Phil.
Wonderful tiffin.
Oh, this is some good.
Thank you, Jay.
Thank you, Jay. My turn next week, then.
Rich and dark.
If you bake and you'd like to send in some baked goods, if you're a proprietor of a bakery or a coffee shop or something, you'd like to send some baked goods for us to eat during our quiz, that's fine. That's what we should do. I would urge everyone, every rugby podcast, have some baked goods ready. And we'll have some baked goods whilst we do the quiz. You can get involved in this as well. So me and Jay are going to try and take each other on.
Here's some tasty tiffin.
It is good, isn't it?
Mm. Let me try it.
Velvety smooth.
Yeah. Wow. Good quality.
Hasn't tiffin got like raisins and biscuit and stuff in?
Couldn't tell you.
Very good.
Mm. Whatever that is, I like it.
That's really good.
Right. Question number one. Which two England players from the 23-man squad against Australia have more than 50 caps?
Which two England players?
Only two are above 50 caps.
Ooh.
Easy. Next.
Question number two. What position did Warren Gatland play?
Easy.
I haven't got a clue.
Hell of a flunker.
I know what he looks like.
Okay. And there's a bonus on that one.
You're just trying to get Jay to win.
Maybe. Jay's not been doing so well. So the bonus is, how many caps did Warren Gatland get for New Zealand?
Well, he was clearly second choice at what he did. So I'm going to say...
And
is that going to be closest?
Yeah, closest will get the bonus point.
Wonderful.
Question three.
Yeah.
What position was Ben Morgan packing down for in the last couple of scrums on Saturday?
Ooh. Oh. Who's on England's bench?
I'm not telling you, Jay.
Okay.
Question four, and the last of the questions, before we possibly have a break and then do a little list later. According to their respective clubs' websites, who is heavier? James Haskell or Sam Burgess?
Both big men. Both look good in T-shirts.
That's what we need. We need a Burgess Fitness YouTube channel.
Yeah. Mm.
Come on, Sam.
Okay, do you want the answers for them now? Question number one.
Yeah.
The two players with more than 50 caps. Tim, who have you got?
Hartley and Robshaw.
You're wrong, unfortunately. It's Hartley and Youngs.
You've both got 1 point. It's Hartley and Haskell.
Oh, that's why! That's why! No! That's why it's good! That's why it's good!
Youngs is
God 40. Damn it.
Chris Robshaw's.
Very few.
It depends when this was updated. It's either 33 or 34. Yeah, far fewer.
Oh, because he's had nearly all of his. Because
he was like two caps before he came captain.
That's right. Because last week's quiz was how many caps as captain, and I. Yeah. Okay. All right. Well, what position was Warren Gatland? I actually don't know. I don't remember watching him play, but I just went
hooker.
I went for tight end.
Hooker, and I think he's got about 30 caps because he's second behind.
I said 26 caps, but I said tight head.
You get 1 point each.
Jeez.
He was hooker. Now. He appeared for New Zealand 17 times, but he got no caps because they were all in unofficial, non-test tour games.
He was second, wasn't he, to... what's his name? Fitzpatrick.
Sean Fitzpatrick. Yeah. Warren Gatland must hate Sean Fitzpatrick. in the way that Graham Dorr, for all those years, used to hate Brian Moore. Because you didn't have replacements and unless you were injured.
So bitter. Okay.
Right, so it's currently 2-2.
Yep.
Yeah.
Question 3. Ben Morgan, where did he pack down?
Probably second row.
Second row.
He did, yeah. He packed down number 5.
George Cruz had that blood injury, didn't
he? Yeah, Cruz came on for Laws, and then Cruz went off. And who's heavier, Haskell or Burgess?
I think I went for Burgess. I'm thinking he's 118 kgs, is what I remember reading when people talk about him. So I wrote Burgess down. What did you write down?
Haskell.
Jay's gone for Haskell. There's 2 kgs in it, 116 to 114, which is about 5 pounds. And it's Burgess.
Yes! So I'm taking a 4-3 lead into the list challenge. Mm. You may well have done better than me and JB on that one, but we'll be back with another little part of Phil's weekly quiz. Very soon.
Disgusting.
That cake was... I've smashed that whole cake.
Yeah, me too.
I'm going to be 116 kgs at this rate. So there was the Autumn Internationals. Obviously, that is done and dusted. If you had to sort of rank the happiness or like where they are on the road to where they want to be by this September, you'd sort of have to go Scotland and Ireland would be, you know, above the line and happy. Wales have now beaten a Southern Hemisphere side, so they'd be pretty happy with some, like, we need to improve. England, despite only narrowly losing by 3 points to New Zealand and South Africa, beating Australia, you'd have to say they're kind of...
middling, yeah. There's some positives. I think the pack and the set pieces is a big positive.
Yeah.
They're just the confusion over the back line. I think still is.
It does feel like Stuart Lancaster. Like, oh my God, it does actually feel like there's a sense of like scratching your head and panic and not really knowing what to do or what's going on.
If everyone was fit tomorrow,
that would make his life a lot easier.
But I still don't know who he'd pick. I think Tuolagi would probably get a 13 shout. Shirt, but. Who would go at 12? Would it be Eastman? Would it be 12 Trees? Would he put Barrett back inside because he's had Barrett in all 4 games? Would it be George Ford or Farrell at 10?
Burrell.
Would Burrell come in? Would Youngs or Kerr start? Who would be his wingers?
Just a quick observation, though.
God, you're right. It's a minefield, isn't it? But in a funny way, for Stuart Lancaster, his job was made, not easier because it was difficult. You want those good players around. But his job was made slightly easier by the fact there were lots of injuries because he didn't have to make the decision and go, right, this is what we're doing. But do you think he actually... You just get the sense he doesn't know still, and we've 5 real meaningful matches in the Six Nations before we're right into the World Cup.
The warm up games and all the rest of it.
I'm a bit concerned.
Yeah.
Who's the 10? Who's the 9? Who are the 2 centres? Who are the wingers? We got Mike Brown at fullback. Brilliant. Yeah. That's the only one you can sort of go.
And out of sorts, Mike Brown, I might add.
But that's the only one you can go with certainty. Yeah, he'll be starting again in the first World Cup.
I think he must really like Anthony Watson.
Well, we've got a couple of months now before, February the 6th, I think it is, the England-Wales at the Millennium Stadium. So we can put that on the back burner. And let's talk Premiership for a minute. And I think we have to doff our cap once again to Exeter.
To the mighty Chiefs.
Let's just rewind back to, you know, the first week in September. And I think we certainly weren't alone. I think most pundits, very, very few people, predicted a strong season for Exeter.
Well, I predicted last year that they'd make the playoffs. That was a disaster.
And you predicted this year that they'd struggle.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I wonder if it's not been in the senior European competition. And I wonder if they're on that cycle that clubs go on where you've got a load of good players, but not quite good enough for England yet.
Yeah, you might be right. Because like, had they lost Waldrum, Ewers, Slade,
Hill,
Noel, if they'd lost those five to England,
exactly,
then it could have had very different running results in the last month.
Tom Johnson's out anyway.
Yeah, Tom Johnson's injured.
But yeah, exactly.
And they did. Well, let's just talk about this much vaunted Saracens pack that everyone, you know, they still had a really, really good pack.
Yeah.
And that Saracens pack got absolutely taken apart.
Yeah. In the scrums as well, just driven backwards, just penalty after penalty, leading to the yellow card for Johnson.
So fair play, Exeter. Well done.
Yeah. And
have they installed the diesel horn? Because if they haven't yet...
Well, we don't know because Waldrum didn't score.
They've got a remix. They have got a they've got a bit of music which they play. Fatty Matty, an Exeter Chiefs fan, got in touch and said that they have got like a remixed sound, Thomas the Tank Engine music with a big
nice.
As part of it. It's a start.
That's good. Yeah.
It's a start.
It's a start.
That's good.
If you own a major haulage firm down near Exeter and you've got a spare diesel V8 or V12, you want to donate.
I still want to hear the as he's just running track.
I do as well. That'd be awesome.
Just as he's crashing it up.
That is a bit like...
Operated by the fans.
I don't know. It's a bit Americanized, that. Having that when he's crashing it up.
I love the idea.
What happens if he gets smashed by two players and goes backwards?
Well, and also it might give the game away if the Exeter fans know what the move is and they sound the horn early.
Do you know what record was equaled in the Exeter game?
Yes, I do. Oh no, wasn't it beaten?
Oh
no,
it was number of penalty penalty kicks in a Premiership match.
Number of penalties, which was 9.
Was it Charlie Hodgson that held it?
No, there's three others. No,
Tim Stimson.
Nope.
The Gloucester guy, Ludovic Mercier, whatever his name was.
Okay, hold on. Paul Grayson.
No.
Toby Flood.
No.
This is hard.
This is hard. They're not the. You wouldn't think of them immediately.
Ian Humphreys.
No.
Paul Burke.
I'll give you a clue.
No, no clues.
Nick Evans.
No. I think the last time.
No clues.
The last time it happened was 2002.
Oh, okay.
Oh, Kenny Logan.
No.
2002. God.
Jackson.
Rob Andrew.
Nope.
Johnny Wilkinson.
Nope, but right team.
Dave Walder.
Dave Walder's
one. Oh, well done. That's a great shout.
The three, you were Dave Walder.
Nope.
We can't do this all day.
Dave Walder, Bram van Straten.
Oh, the leads.
And Thierry Lacroix.
I don't know who that guy is.
Of Quins.
Thierry Lacroix.
In the 90s, I think it was.
Mm.
Wow. Great one.
Yeah.
Thierry Lacroix.
Let's flip to the other end of the table, and it's just getting worse for London Irish. Really, really struggling at the minute.
Yeah, losing at home to Gloucester, who have not been playing well.
That was the worst first half of rugby anyone could possibly watch. 3-0 at half-time.
Was it 3-all?
I watched first half. I went upstairs. I thought, who was winning that? I don't even know. I didn't even register.
Yeah, it was horrible, wasn't it?
And what was the end score, Tim?
21-9.
Okay, so it picked up in the second half.
Yeah, and Gloucester, you know, ended their run of defeats. London Irish, their run of defeats continues. We don't even need to talk about London Welsh. Newcastle Sale was an interesting one. We just finished. Sale did win that one. And Sale are in sixth again.
Yeah.
And what would happen if Sale spent their salary cap?
I know.
I wonder if they're good enough to go... Well, I suppose if they actually had money to spend, they wouldn't have Steve Diamond.
But they always do well in this autumn international period. It was this time last season they suddenly picked up
and
started
winning.
Well,
last season as well. Right at the end of the season. The business end of the season, they made a real push, got into sixth.
Yeah.
Mm. So they've got something about them, Sale.
Yeah, they've got that good pack.
Yeah.
And they're very good set piece.
Wasps and Quins are both looking like they've got a little bit more vulnerable. When they lose a couple of players, they've got a soft underbelly.
Well, Wasps are doing better than I thought they would. I thought Wasps would be kind of down there.
I think when you look at the players that they got, Gaskell, Miller.
Good starting 15.
And Wade coming back from injury and stuff. You sort of get excited about Wasps, but it's not
as
really...
As I said, though, I think they're about three signings away from being competitive.
And did you see the Leicester 15 that they put out? It's starting to look like a Leicester team.
It is, isn't it? It's getting ominous.
Did you see your man Benjamin?
Did he score?
No, it was all penalties.
He got the ball over the line.
What's he done now?
And dropped it.
Yeah.
He's still working over. Ever since I gave JB's endorsement for Miles Benjamin, he's not done so well.
Yeah, he's let you down big time.
Yeah. He does some things very well.
Yes.
And then other things like catching and putting the ball down, he does very badly.
But I think Richard Cockerell accepted that they probably weren't a better team and were pretty lucky to come away with the win. But when you look at that front row, it's a Youngs Cole. You sort of think, going into the winter months, you feel pretty good about
it. You get
that.
A warm feeling.
Yeah. I'm getting a tingle.
And it's quite nice to have the young gun and the old guy behind them, Thorne and Kitchener. Yeah. It's a nice, well-balanced second-row partnership.
Phil, I can't believe you've not talked about the Ulster game, or are you trying to blot it out of your memory?
It's a great game. It's a bit frustrating. So I don't know if either of you watched any of it.
Was it a Pro 12?
This was
pro
whilst, no, this was whilst it, the no. this was whilst the Bath Quins game was going on.
Right, I definitely didn't watch it then.
So I've flicked a little bit and then caught the extended highlights. Ulster went 12-0 up. Then Munster scored 21 unanswered points. They played some really good attacking rugby, spread the ball wide, stretched Ulster to go 21-12. And then Ulster came back into it, got a penalty, got a try, Nick Williams with a minute to go to put it 21-20 with the kick to go, which was the easiest kick of the night for Ian Humphries to win the game, and he missed it.
Mm. Drama.
Yeah, it was a really good game, but just a bit frustrating from Ulster's point of view.
Yeah. Seems pretty tough. Like the international players are going to return from three or in some cases four grueling weeks, and like we say, there was a lot of Irish players straight back into it. But now, for all the guys of whatever country, they're into European competition.
We were just saying this. How brutal is that?
Yeah.
I mean, if you're an England player, Rob Shaw, four international games on the bounce,
80 minutes in each one,
and then arguably going into an even tougher competition.
I don't know about that, but
what you reckon? It's a day off against.
I'm not saying day off, but I don't think I'd say European Cup is harder than international rugby.
I would
rugby.
Say playing against a Toulouse or Toulon pack is harder than. It's hard, if not harder than South Africa.
Well, yeah, Rob Shaw welcomes Leinster to the stoop. So it's
Leinster probably rested all their Irish lads.
They will have done last week.
God, there's something to be said for the way that New Zealand look after their players, isn't there? There is something to be said. There's like, well, I suppose, and Wales look after Warburton.
Bruce Craig said something quite interesting.
He
on
always
this.
Says something interesting.
He wants to see 30-man squads for all rugby games.
So wow.
As in the match day squad?
The match day squad of 30, so you can change every single player
it makes sense
halfway
to me.
Through the game. And he thinks it would.
Do you know why I don't think it makes
stop
sense?
A lot of that.
I've got two sides on this because there is the interchange rule in rugby league, and I thought, oh, that's a good idea. It's not a good idea because you're going
well,
down
they
the road.
Do it. They do it in the lower league.
We do it.
Rugby union, yeah. Exactly.
But the reason I don't like it for professional sports or professional rugby union is we need the players really to get smaller. Now, it's not going to be easy because all the new training techniques and the rest of it. But one of the ways you could make it smaller is to make them play longer. So if you had a squad of 30 and you had, I don't know, 10 changes, the temptation would be to have, you know, three or four.
Massive men.
Will Skelton.
Will Skelton. And on that front, let me just say, he was warming up in the dead ball area right in front of where I was sat at Twickenham. It's ridiculous how big he is.
Bigger than me.
He looked. he was with all the Aussie other guys, and he looked like he was the teacher on a school excursion.
Have you ever seen the
he
picture
massive.
Of Craig Quinnell singing the Welsh national anthem, and he's kind of hugging Yestyn Harris? It's a wonderful picture. He's huge. He's hugging him, but he's also crying at the same time. I think they use it for like an insurance advert. Said, "We make you feel protected."
Nice.
Shall we finish the quiz before we go into the matchup?
No, yes. Then. Oh, it's four. Is it 4-3?
4-3.
I've got a slender 1-point lead, despite Phil trying to stitch me up by having Wales-based questions again.
Now,
for JB,
for this second part of the quiz, I have bought this nice cooled bottle of Chablis. So I will open this up now. Luckily, I haven't. But next week, I will.
Next week. More and more extravagant.
Okay.
Right. Now, a little list to finish it off. There are 7 points available for this.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And I want you to name, in no particular order, the top seven all-time Premiership try scorers.
Oh, goodness me.
And the reason I've done seven is that all of them are outside backs besides one of them. And if you get the person who's not an outside back, you'll get a double point.
Is it in order?
Order does not matter. I just need the names. 7 names on your paper, and one of them is worth 2.
How long has the Premiership been going for?
A long time. No clues.
15 years or so.
Crikey. Crikey.
Oh, wow.
Oh, this is really hard. Got so many names popping in my head.
Yeah. I'm pretty confident with my first 4. I think we all know the first 3. Ooh.
Do we? God, I'm not really not feeling good about this now.
I think the first 3 is reasonably well publicised.
Yeah.
No, I don't like that one.
But then after the first 3, it gets tricky.
Oh, man, this is stressful. All right, I think I've... actually, that one, yeah, I'll go with that one. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. I've got 7 names. I'm just going to stop. I'm just going to stop because I will get...
Okay.
Unless...
No.
Oh, no. Oh, no, yes. Oh, I'm glad I crossed that one out. Right, I've got 7 names.
You've got 7, Jay?
Yeah.
You've got 7 written down there. Can I have let's have a look. Right.
Just give one name, and then if I've got it on mine, and then Phil can tell us if it's on the 7.
Quato.
I've got Quato. And I know from my time as Sale Sharks match announcer, the amount of times I would say, another try for the Premiership's all-time leading try scorer, Mark Quato. So I know he's the top.
Yes, he is currently top.
I think second is now Vondell.
I've also got Vondell on my list.
Vondell is in second.
Third of all time would be Steve Hanley.
I've got Steve Hanley.
Steve Hanley, 3 points each.
I then think another Sale winger, Ben Cohen, is in there.
I didn't pick Ben Cohen.
But
I didn't pick Ben Cohen.
But he had a few years out. He went to France, so it's not nailed on.
No.
But he did start young.
Is Ben Cohen on the list?
Ben Cohen is in 8th place, so he's not on the list.
All right. One person I've got that was also, has been at the same club, I went for Chris Ashton.
Chris Ashton?
That's a good show.
Is not on the list, not in the top 10.
Okay, so we both have only, well, so cross that one off.
Jay, your next one.
This is my flyer, Neil Back.
Look at that list, Neil Back.
You've both got Neil Back as your...
Oh, damn you! I've seen one of your others, I know that's right as well.
You've both got Neil Back as your non-outside back.
Yeah.
And he's correct.
Two
points.
Because he was always
in the back.
Through at the back of the driving mall and a massive West Leicester pack.
Yeah, he's 59 Premiership tries for Neil
that's
Back.
That's amazing.
Incredible.
And he made a grand total of 59 yards to score them. another name on my list, Tom Voice.
Bath, oh, that's a wonderful guess.
Bath and then Wasps.
That has to be. And Gloucester and London Welsh.
Yeah.
Jonathan Beardmore, lookalike Tom Voice, is... Jay has two names left on his list.
Yes!
Ugo Monia.
Monia is not in there. Not in the top 10.
And the last one I couldn't think of, so I went Steve Booth.
And I went James Simpson Daniel.
That's a great one.
And James Simpson Daniel is there.
Yes!
So, Tim wins...
It's getting boring being
11-8, I think, I get the overall.
We might need to get a listener on to take Jay's place, because it's getting... It'd be like, it's like playing London Welsh every week.
Tom Voice, that was one of the best guests. I can't believe anything of Tom Voice.
There's one person you missed from the top 7, and it's Paul Sackey.
Oh, good.
But he's abroad for a little while.
Yeah, but he had a long career at Wasps.
Yeah, 68 Premiership tries in fourth place.
At Irish as well, wasn't he? He was Irish. Did he play at Irish before?
Yeah, Irish Wasps. Stad.
He went back. Yeah, and then back to Quinns last season. But he probably only scored 1 or 2 tries last season.
Oh, what does that make it? I've lost count now. I've won so many 7-1, something like that. Woo!
Good victory, Tim. Awesome. Another good victory.
It's like it's.
Which
almost
one did
like,
you get wrong? Did you get one wrong?
I say Chris Ashton.
Chris Ashton.
I also crossed out Alisana Tuilagi for James Simpson Daniel. That was the last minute change I made.
Good switch. Yeah.
Oh,
I'm going home.
I feel physically drained.
Thanks for the tiffin, though, Jay.
Shut up.
Really appreciate
beautiful
it.
Beautiful tiffin. Wonderful tiffin. Right, let's look at the matchups for this weekend coming up then, or next weekend as it is now as we're recording it. The European rugby returns, like we say, a real grind. You've got a whole load of autumn internationals. Stuart Lancaster putting his feet up, but for all the players, straight back into some pretty massive games. With respect to all the teams that are in it, we're not going to spend a lot of time talking about the Challenge Cup.
Nope.
Or none.
So well, that's enough time, yeah.
So
yeah.
Friday night, Montpellier-Bath.
Now, yeah, it's interesting how many of the French players will have been rested by their clubs this weekend and just gone. Because they top 14 played, France didn't play. But I just wonder, I bet none of them will be because it's so important.
Yeah, they do rest their players before big games.
Yeah. So I think Bath might give some of their guys a bit of a rest.
Well, if they lose, they're out of it for good.
Yeah, just given that...
They need to win it.
Slamming Sam.
Will they give them more
If they
time?
Do, I think it's ludicrous because these aren't the games where you blood a new guy.
I think Montpellier at home will win.
Yeah, I'd go with that. They've been playing well this season as well.
On Saturday, Sale against Saracens. This is interesting. Sale in really good form. Saracens will have their full complement back.
Mm.
Where are they playing? Away?
At Sale.
Saracens.
Yeah.
You'd have to think Saracens.
You'd like to think Saracens with everyone back, with everyone available.
And they'll probably have more fans than Sale, so it'll be like a home game.
Saracens have got a bit of a challenge to try and get 2,000 away fans to go up because it's a massive game for Saracens in a really tight pool. Munster and Claremont and Saracens are all sort of battling. So Saracens are trying to take 2,000, which will pretty much double the attendance at Sale.
Wow.
Which is good for them. And in the same pool one, Munster against Claremont. That's a pretty tasty match. Looking forward to seeing that Saturday evening. 5:30
Every time
kick-off.
I picked against Munster, they've won. So I'm not going to say anything.
Yeah, Claremont have just come off the back of a tough away trip to Toulon as well.
Yeah, they lost it.
They lost 27-19 to Toulon. So you'd say on that, Munster home victory.
Yep.
I would go with that. Logic would dictate, which would leave Pool 1 pretty interesting and with everything to play for if those results come off. Pool 3, Ulster against Scarlets. Your boys, Phil, Sufton.
Ulster, absolutely.
Yeah.
Scarlets at home.
No, it's
at the Kingspan Stadium.
Yeah. A win at the Kingspan for Ulster.
Yes, definitely.
Go Spanners.
Ulster should have all their
the irony. Back. The irony is still not lost on anyone. It still makes me laugh every time. The windiest, one of the most exposed grounds.
Sponsored by ventilation.
Insulation.
Sorry.
Ventilation
would be perfect.
It's meant to stop drafts and stop cold drafts coming in. And Pool 5, Northampton will beat Treviso away.
Away, yeah.
And Ospreys against Racing Metro. That's an interesting one.
Wales A against Wales B. Racing.
Yeah, Ospreys. Yeah. We've got quite a few players who've just come off the back of that.
Racing spent too much money not to win.
But they're not very good on the road, but I'm still going to go with the Racing win.
Yeah, I'll go with that.
And into Sunday then, Cast against Wasps.
Cast are currently bottom of the pro.
Are they really?
Top 14, yeah.
God. Do you know what, though? Sometimes, though, when teams are playing outside of the competition they're getting hammered at, it's like... Do you remember Northampton the year they got relegated, I think? They got into the semis of the Heineken Cup.
Really?
So London Welsh are going to win the Challenge Cup then?
It only makes sense.
I think you're right. Cast, I didn't realise they're that poor. Mind you, the top 14 is pretty tough contest.
It's very tough. I mean, they've won 4 games. The team in 5th, Bordeaux, have only won 6 games. So
right, okay.
Sorry?
There's only 2 games that separate 5th.
They're bottom of the league with 4
wins out of 12.
My word.
It's a lot of it's to do with the home away.
Quinns will probably get beaten by Leinster.
Yeah, Quinns really need to sort that scrum out. We were just saying the other week that they were scrimmaging well, but then against the younger Bath pack,
That Bath pack is an unusually tough one.
This is a tasty old match. I can't wait to watch this one. Leicester, Toulon. Now, you instinctively and logically, you'd say, well, Toulon are going to win that. And
where are they playing?
At Walford Rove.
Ooh, but Leicester, when are they
but Leicester did a job on Ulster in the European competition before they had Iertsa and Cole and Youngs.
Which game is this? When are they playing?
This is Sunday 5:30 p.m.
Oh,
so
lovely.
whilst we're podding, we'll be watching Leicester Toulon.
I'm going to be romantic and say Leicester because of the home crowd and the atmosphere and all the players coming back.
But then
I'm going to be pragmatic and say Toulon.
Yeah, I think Welford Road is worth maybe 7 points. But I think Toulon are 12 points better than Leicester. So,
nice.
So Toulon.
Two Welshmen kicking sticks.
Yeah, Halfpenny and Owen Williams.
Glasgow and Toulouse. They're both currently streaking away with Pool 4 and they play in the final match in Toulouse. you think Toulouse would come away with that one. They've been a bit indifferent at times, but...
They're massive.
They are massive.
They should have enough to do that, even though they just got beat by Grenoble at home.
Do you know what I'm going to do with the Challenge Cup? I'm just going to say what the fixtures are because I don't care
enough. Do you even want to do that?
I don't
know. No, let's not do it.
Let's not do that.
Yeah, I'd say.
If your team's in the Challenge Cup, you know what the fixture is. Good luck.
Enjoy.
Enjoy it. Right, we are done. Thank you very much for listening.
Before you go, I've had a request. We haven't done it for a while. Can we be played out to Corpusiero, please?
But yeah, let's be played out by the man, the main
master.
Man, the master.
Keep it kind of quiet.
People on a diet.
Scrum is straight, Tom is right.
I don't deny it. Test me. We'll see you on the next podcast in a bit, Jake.
Bye-bye.
In a bit, Phil.
Cheers, Tim.
Leave a review on iTunes, at Rugby Podcast on Twitter. Come find us.
Told you before, we represent L.I. London Irish. You can't deny this. So, so sick. I tell it, you can't try this.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary. Not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.